Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
We were laughing and drinking when Corey said, "Have you guys watched this new series called Squid Games?" I'm not a big fan of web series, as they take a lot of time to finish. No, I haven't, but everyone in my office was talking about it last week. "What is it about?" Jonah replied, "It's basically a thriller where childhood games become dangerous in real life. Like someone who fails to play by the rules gets killed." "I see. What kind of childhood games?" "Well, like tug of war, marble games, and especially red light, green light." "Oh yes, I remember the last one. Didn't we used to play that a lot when we were kids?" "Hell yeah." Old memories started to come back again as we four childhood friends sat in my living room and laughed about it. Jonah, Corey, me, and Oliver all grew up in the same neighborhood, playing and studying together. With time, we all drifted apart, but somehow after 10 years, we have reunited once again. It was Oliver who made it all happen. He has always been the friend in need, no matter how much we pranked him in our childhood days. After 10 years, Oliver connected with each one of us, and we agreed to meet for a house party in my Los Angeles home. As we all sat together with delicious dishes and drinks, we started cherishing each other's company once again. While we talked about the Squid Games, Oliver interrupted, saying, "Do you guys remember how you used to slap me on the head when playing red light, green light?" Jonah took a big bite of a chicken leg and said, "You mean that statue game, right?" "That's what I've been telling you guys," Corey replied. I felt a bit embarrassed because we really did bully Oliver a lot when he was a kid. He used to be chubby back then, and we always found a way to make him the one calling out so that we can play the game and slap him on the head after reaching the finish line. I laughed awkwardly and said, "Yeah, we were such stupid and mean kids back then." Oliver smiled and again said, "Well, it's fine. I never minded." Suddenly, Jonah got up and slapped him on the head, saying, "Of course not. You never had a mind, bro." Corey laughed out loud, but I didn't like this joke at all. I told him he was drunk and crossing a line, which he shouldn't. I could see a wave of repressed anger lurking in Oliver's face, but he didn't say anything. He just got up and went to the kitchen to get more drinks. As soon as he was out of sight, I yelled at Jonah and Corey, "Guys, we aren't kids anymore. Oliver took the initiative bringing us back again. Please, respect him." I knew they ignored my lecture on how to treat Oliver. I got up and went to the kitchen to help him. He was standing near the fridge. I said in a calm voice, "Don't mind them. They have always been jerks. I apologize on their behalf, man." "It's fine. I am happy to see you change. You might be the lucky one tonight." "What do you mean by that?" "I have a surprise for you guys. Come on, let's go." Saying this, he walked away and I followed him with mixed feelings. Oliver stood in the middle of the living room and said, "I have a hidden gift for you guys inside this house. We will play a little game until one of you finds it." We all looked at him with surprise, not knowing what the hell he was trying to do. He said, "I'll turn off the power and it'll become dark. Then you all will split up looking for that gift. Trust me, you won't be disappointed when you find it. The winner will leave with an exciting prize. What do you say? Shall we play?" "Well, there's nothing wrong with going back to our childhood days. I don't mind either. Let's do it then." Oliver went to the main switch and turned off the power. My two-story fancy house sunk in darkness in just a wink. I was so confused because I couldn't even tell when Oliver planned all this. Actually, we did ignore him the entire evening like we always did. Maybe he used that opportunity to set it all up. Oliver stood in the dark and said, "Remember, you can move the entire night until you hear red light from me. So, let the game begin." He lit up three candles and handed them to each one of us. I asked him, "What about his candle?" He replied, "I can see in the dark pretty well. It will make things even more exciting." We split up and started to search the house for the gift that Oliver has kept for us. I went straight to my bedroom upstairs and was looking for the thing when I heard Oliver say, "Red light." I became a statue immediately. I was sure Jonah and Corey did the same too. 10 minutes went by, and I suddenly heard a metal vase falling on the floor. I heard Corey saying, "Jonah, please don't break things." I couldn't help but laugh, thinking she's out of the game and has spoken in statue mode. More time went by, and I expected Corey to argue her way out to get back in the game. But I didn't hear her say anything after that. Oliver yelled again, "Green light!" I made my way downstairs. I was about to take the last step when someone grabbed my hand and whispered, "Paul, call 911, please. Oliver has gone mad." I saw in the dim candlelight, it was Jonah. His face was like a white sheet. "What are you saying?" I asked. "Oliver, he is following the Squid Game theme. Call 911. We must get out of this house." Jonah was about to say more when we heard Oliver's voice from a close distance. "Red light." He entered our room with Corey's candle in hand and stopped. He lifted his other hand, and what I saw made my heart jump right out of my chest. He was holding Corey's severed head in his other hand. He gave the sickest smile and said, "She moved. She lost." "Fair enough, right? She won't be able to slap me in the head ever again." I stood there in complete terror because by that time, I have understood the rules. If I move now, I will be his next victim. Jonah also stood like a stone as Oliver gazed at us from head to toe, then turned around facing the wall. He said in a creepy voice, "Green light." As soon as he said that, Jonah and I ran to the main door like scared little kids. I twisted the doorknob and it didn't open. Yes, it was locked. He locked it right away before any of us could notice. I couldn't go on with this insanity anymore. I ran to the power box and turned on the lights. As the bright lights hit the floor, we found Corey's headless body lying on the couch. Blood was flowing from her slashed neck effortlessly. The entire mattress was red. I screamed, "Oliver, why are you doing this? You have to stop this madness." Just then, I noticed a box wrapped in a shiny cover, placed under the same couch Corey was lying on. Before I could contemplate on this thought, Jonah grabbed my baseball bat from the corner, and just then, Oliver yelled, "Red light!" and turned around. Even though I paused, Jonah rushed to Oliver to attack him. But before he could reach him, Oliver took out a pistol and shot him right in the middle of his forehead. Splashing a lot of blood and brain matter, Jonah's lifeless body fell on the floor, creating a loud thud. I stood there, trembling in fear, not saying a single word. Two of my childhood friends are dead in my own home, and their killer was another childhood friend of mine. Oliver smiled at me and said, "I told you, you'll be the lucky one. I will turn around for one last time so that you can go ahead and grab your gift." He faced the wall again and said in a calm voice, "Green light." I lunged to the couch and took out the gift box. Something inside my head hinted to me that I really need to open this anyhow. As soon as I unraveled the gift, I met with the ultimate game plan of Oliver. The gift was none other than my own house keys, which will help me to unlock the door. I ran to the door and unlocked it with my shaking hands when Oliver turned at me and said, "Game over," then shot himself in the head. The last gunshot numbed my ears, and I vomited on the house porch after witnessing so much in such a short span of time. When the cops came and witnessed this bloodshed, I just stood like a poor kid who wanted to run away as far as possible. Three of my friends died in the same night, in front of me, while playing this childhood game, that Squid Game brought back to us once again. I wish we never would have treated Oliver like that. If we were really nice to him back then, things would have been a lot different. All of my friends would have been alive.
Hey guys, I see many of you commenting on my videos that this channel deserves 1 million subscribers. But I also see the percent of people who watch my videos aren't actually subscribed to the channel. So, if you like the content, want to support my channel, and want to see this channel reach 1 million subscribers, or maybe 500,000 subscribers, then go ahead, subscribe, and hit the bell icon. It's free, and you can always change your mind later.
The recent web series, Squid Game, has risen to fame because of its unusual and twisted plot. But as everyone can enjoy the show, I can't. There's one element of this show that makes me cringe like crazy, and that is the Dalgona candy. As soon as I heard about it, so many dark memories lashed out of my mind. I have been introduced to this typical Korean candy way back before Squid Game gave it worldwide fame. My name is Sarah Stewart, and this is my story. I grew up in the countryside with fresh air, a clear sky, cheerful people. Being from a small village left very few options for entertainment. In those days, children used to play in the parks, run in the mud, and sail paper boats in the ditch near the roads. Childhood was easy and innocent. Every afternoon, my brother and I used to go out and play with the neighborhood kids. There wasn't a constructive park like the big cities have these days, but there was indeed a huge green field adjacent to the woods. Kids play there, locals went for their walks. The field was so vast that even all the people of the village were not enough to make it crowded. One cloudy afternoon, my brother and I wore our raincoats and went to the field to ride our bicycles. Mom gave a strict warning to head home if it started to rain. The sky was filled with big dark clouds. My brother Jason has always been a stubborn and hyperactive kid. He rode his bicycle intentionally over the puddles of water so that it splashed. A few people were chatting in one corner. Except that, no other kids were playing that day. Jason and I were racing when my eyes went to a secluded part of the field. There was a big bushy tree, and the woods started right after that. Under the shadow of the big tree stood a man with a small trolley. "Who is that?" Jason asked me, following my eyes. "Think he's selling candy," I said. "Do you have money?"
"Yeah."
"Let's go then." Saying this, Jason started to ride his bicycle at full speed towards the candy man. Being the big sister, I had to go after him. We reached near the spot and got a clear view of the man. All his clothes looked quite old and rusty. He wore a brown farmer hat, probably to save himself from the rain. What surprised me more was his candy. They looked like big caramel lollipops with various shapes stamped on them. And all the candy were the same flavor. I realized he is a poor candy seller who was probably trying to make money with the little he can. He laughed in a squeaky voice and said,
"Wanna try some candies, dear?"
How much is it?"
"Two candies for a dollar."
Seeing the size of the candy, I became shocked hearing the price. I thought to myself, these are cheap. Before I could ask more, Jason yelled in excitement,
"I'll take this one."
The man handed him over a lollipop that had an umbrella stamped on it. I gave him a dollar, and he handed me another one. Mine had a star stamped on it. Taking the money, he smiled and said,
"What are you two doing alone here? A storm is about to come."
"Yeah, we'll head home now. Come on, Jason." Saying this, I looked at my brother, who by that time had already taken a big bite of the candy. But he didn't pay attention to what I said and spat the candy from his mouth on the ground, screaming,
"Ew! These taste awful! You're the worst candy maker! You make the worst candy!"
He threw the remaining candy on the ground and stomped on it, making the umbrella shatter into pieces. I felt embarrassed with his behavior because, no matter how it tasted, he shouldn't have insulted the poor man in his face. I scolded him, saying, "Jason, didn't Mom tell you to behave in front of others?" I was going to scold him more, but the man stopped me and said,
"It's okay. He is just a kid."
He then crouched down to Jason's face and said,
"I am sorry. Maybe they won't be bad due to the weather. I do have freshly made ones at home. And there are many other candies as well. If you want, you two can come with me."
I turned around and saw there was no one else in that field except us. A siren of trouble went loud in my mind. I said in a fumbled voice,
"It's quite late now. We should be going. I'm sorry for my brother's behavior."
The man laughed in the same manner again and said,
"It's fine. I thought you guys will like some toys that I made for kids. Too bad you have to go home now.
Toys? Sarah, please, please let's go. I want toys.
But Mom said to be home. It's not even raining yet.
She said to be home before it starts to rain.
Don't worry. My house is nearby.
No matter how many red flags I saw, I still couldn't refuse the invite of free toys and candy like my brother. I gave up finally, and we started to follow the man. He rode his trolley, and we rode our bicycles behind him. Leaving the field behind, we took a narrow path heading into the woods. After riding for 5 or 7 minutes, we came in front of a small wooden cabin.
This is my home. Come in.
The man parked his trolley on the side and opened the door. We kept our bicycles beside the cabin and walked in with him. It was a small cabin with very little furniture. A soggy smell was all over the air like it hasn't been cleaned for a long time. The man took us into a small room which was more like a kitchen. I could see dirty plates lying in the sink with cockroaches crawling on them for leftovers. A disgusting feeling shivered down my body, seeing the filth all around. On the stove lay a pan with a caramel liquid filled in it. He lit the stove and told us to sit on the chairs kept in the corner. I sat down, but Jason said,
"Where are the toys? I want them now."
"You are a stubborn kid. Can't you learn anything from your sister?"
"I want the toys now."
"Can you watch this till I come back?"
I nodded my head and the man went to the other room with Jason. I sat down and watched the caramel boil. Few moments went by, and when they didn't come back, I got a bit worried. I pushed the door open in one go and saw Jason was tied to the bedstand while the man sat near him with a sharp knife.
"What are you doing to my brother?"
"I am going to make him the best candy he will ever taste."
He then lunged at me and pressed a funky smelling cloth on my mouth. I don't know why. My head became dizzy and I lost the willpower to scream or fight back. I don't remember how long I was out, but when I woke up, I found myself tied to a chair. I was back in that kitchen again. At some distance, the man was stirring that pan which had caramel boiling in it. He took a full glass of red liquid and poured it into the caramel mixture. An awful burnt metal smell choked the air in the room immediately.
"Oh, you're awake. Do you know what this is? Look at there. Look."
I looked at the corner of the kitchen where he gestured and saw Jason was lying on the floor with his eyes wide open and wrists slashed. Blood was dripping like a fountain. The man drank some blood from his cut open wrists and then poured it again into the caramel mixture. After stirring it for some more time, he poured it into a tray in the shape of a big circle, then grabbed a balloon-shaped stamp and made a mark on the caramel mixture, which was now red with my brother's blood.
"Here you go. The world's tastiest candy is ready. Want to try it out?"
He then picked up the balloon-shaped red Dalgona candy and licked it in front of my eyes. The red blood cells stuck to his tongue, making it red. His eyes widened and he said,
"Now it's your turn."
He started to walk towards me with that candy made from my brother's blood. I cried and pleaded with him to let me go, but he didn't. He crouched down at my level and shoved the candy into my mouth. The metallic taste made me vomit on the floor right away, and just then I heard footsteps rushing into the cabin.
"Freeze or we will shoot!"
The cops entered the kitchen, pointing their guns at him. I woke up in the hospital and saw my parents standing near me with tearful eyes. When my brother and I didn't come home, my parents started looking for me. They heard from some local people that we were talking to this fishy-looking candy vendor, and that was the last time they all saw us. With the help of the sheriff and his team, my parents started searching for us and heard my scream coming from a distance. Following that, they discovered this wooden cabin. And what happened next is not hard to guess. Even though they saved me, my brother died that day. He lost a huge amount of blood, and on his way to the hospital, he took his last breath. The Candyman is now facing a life sentence in prison. I will never be able to watch this web series, no matter how trendy or exciting people label it.
The Squid Game reminds me of that Dalgona candy that was made by my little brother's blood. I don't know if I will ever be able to forgive myself for what happened recently or what I made happen. This is my first year in college, and I am a murderer in the eyes of the entire college already. I have been a highly competitive individual since childhood. I love taking dares, accepting challenges, as they give me an adrenaline rush. Without caring for my life, I have gone to extremes just to win a challenge for the sake of popularity among friends. And this stupid mindset has landed me in this awful situation that I am now in. My father always screamed at me whenever I failed to say, "This world has two kinds of people, winners and losers. You decide who you want to be, Andrew." Growing up, this toxic masculinity grew in me so deep that I forgot the most important meaning of life is humanity. I have been a popular kid wherever I went. When I joined college, I immediately made a lot of friends. We partied hard and were always looking for something fun. It felt like my life is one of those teenage dramas where I am the main character and the handsome hero. There was a love interest as well. Her name was Tatsumi. She was the prettiest Korean girl I have ever seen in my life. Hence, not only me, but many guys were also desperate to get her attention. Among them was one of the most annoying ones, Jackson, aka Jack. Jack and I were arch rivals. If anyone could give me top-level competition, it was him. And many people took advantage of our tussles by enjoying it like reality shows. Anyways, so last week, we got invited to a friend's house who threw a huge pool party. Everyone was getting drunk, jumping in the pool, dancing like crazy. Tatsumi was sitting on the poolside, wearing a red t-shirt with cute denim shorts. She looked gorgeous like always. As our eyes met, she smiled at me, and I walked up to her like a moth drawn to the flame. "Hey, enjoying the party?" "Well, not much. It's boring." "Maybe I can make it interesting for you." "Really?" We were having this flirtatious conversation when from nowhere, Jack popped up holding two beers. He looked at me with his cunning eyes and said, "Where are your manners, Andrew? There's a beautiful girl right in front of you, and you didn't even offer her a drink." No doubt he caught me off guard, and I got pretty embarrassed. Tatsumi took the beer bottle from his hands, and I could see her smirking. Honestly, now I realize how she was dodging both of us at the same time. She enjoyed so much attention. Some people just love it when others go crazy about them. And that's exactly what I was. Crazy about her. But this uncalled entry of Jack and his sly remarks set fire in my mind immediately. I gave him a pissed look and said, "Well, we must stack the beers for the night because this is your old strategy to look cool in front of girls. But I don't blame you. With that face, you need to go an extra mile to impress them." The entire crowd started laughing like crazy, and Jack's face turned red with this unexpected insult. I walked away from there and sat in the lounge area with my other friends. I wanted to take my mind off Tatsumi, so I started chatting with them. I saw two people watching a web series and talking highly about it. That's how I came to know about Squid Game. The episode they were watching was quite grooving. Two separate groups of men were playing tug-of-war on a high-rise platform. Whoever wins ends up pulling the opponent's team to such an extent that they fall off that high place. Everyone saw how fascinating this show is when Tatsumi said, "Well, I wish we could play some games too. This party is so boring otherwise." As soon as she said it, Jack came right in front of me and said, "Wanna play tug-of-war?" I smiled and said, "Stop making everything about you and me, Jack. There are other people in this party as well." "Woohoo! Looks like somebody got scared. Are you worried that I'll beat you in it, Andrew?" "I mean, I understand. Tug of war is about physical strength after all." Jack was taller than me, but I wasn't some skinny dude either. I played basketball my entire life, so I'm well confident about my strength as well. Jack went on dissing me like he always does, and for some time, I did ignore him. I would have done this the entire time, but suddenly he made a very weird announcement. Jack walked straight up to my face and said, "Whoever wins will get to go on a date with Tatsumi. Tatsumi, I hope you don't mind this."
Absolutely not. I also want to see who wins. Only if Andrew decides to take part in this. At that very moment, I realized what a vixen she is. She was ready to make one of us feel embarrassed after this stupid challenge just to be the talk of the town. I decided I will defeat Jack first and then slam the refusal of going on a date right on Tatsumi's face. I took off my t-shirt, revealing my perfectly shaped abs, and said, "Fine, bring it on." Everyone in the party started cheering and screaming, "Tug of war, tug of war, tug of war." Jack took off his shirt as well, and one friend brought a big rope from the garden shed into the lounge. The rules were simple. Jack and I will be standing face to face, keeping the pool between us. To win, one has to pull the opponent in such a way that he falls into the pool. There will be three rounds, and the one with the maximum points will win the game. As decided, Jack and I took our positions. One friend blew a party horn, and we started to pull each other like crazy. Struggling for 5 minutes, I made a sudden jerk, which led Jack to lose his grip, and he fell into the pool, making a huge splash. My friends cheered like crazy, and Tatsumi sipped her beer like she was a princess watching two men fighting for her. Jack came out of the pool drenched in water and screamed, "Good one, Andrew, but the game has just started." I was thinking to score the next round and finishing this nuance once and for all, but a change of plan occurred. Due to overconfidence, my hand slipped and Andrew dunked me into the pool, scoring a tie. The competition was neck to neck, and I was becoming furious now. The third round was like a life and death situation for me. To hell with Tatsumi, I can't lose to this guy. He is a jerk, and I don't want to spend my entire college year listening to his bragging about how he defeated me in tug of war. A sinister idea came to my mind. I noticed the sharp pointy metal fence standing right behind Jack. The tip of those fences was like a series of knives peeping to cut the wind passing by. Someone in the back of my mind spoke in an evil voice. "Do it, Andrew. This game is real life. Teach him a lesson." I grabbed the rope real tight, and as soon as the horn honked, I started to pull. I pulled with all my strength in the beginning so that Jack also puts his entire energy into pulling me. I knew how desperate he was to overthrow me from the popular boy tag. When his energy was at its peak and I could see him sweating for trying so hard, I acted as if the rope slipped away from my hand. The sudden counteraction, followed by the very common laws of physics, made Jack drift back in friction. He couldn't control his body weight and fell right on the sharp edges of the metal fences. Two pointy tips pierced right through his eyes, spraying brain matter that dripped on the ground. He didn't even get the chance to scream or suffer as his soul left his body right away. Everyone was screaming like crazy, and Tatsumi broke into tears seeing this horrifying scene. The paramedics were called. The cops came as well. Many of our friends were shooting the game, hence, whatever happened got caught into their camera. I am still facing some legal troubles, as Jack's parents have set up a lawyer blaming me. I made it happen. But the footage was mostly focused on Jack, hence, no one could notice my evil deed. Being the rich kid, I'm pretty sure my dad will get me out of this without any trouble, but every night, as I go to bed, I could see Jack standing near me with his eyes hanging on his cheeks. He never speaks, never makes a sound, just stands there to remind me of what only I know. I don't know how I will make him go, but I'm not giving my confession either. My psychiatrist says this is just my mind playing tricks on me.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
I don't know how long I will be able to cope if he continues visiting me like this in the middle of the night.